You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I need to begin this series with a revelatory statement that is very difficult for us to grasp. I always prepare my Sunday sermons on Monday so that I can have the rest of the week to think about it, pray over it, and let it become part of me so that when I'm delivering, it's in me, not just of me. And so I go to the Lord and I say, okay, I like the series style of preaching because we don't have to concern ourselves with a sermon where we may miss important concepts because we're trying to deliver information in a very short period of time. I would rather have the liberty of stretching it out over weeks until it becomes part of our thought process. So we were looking at the series on the mind, and talking about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind and how to renovate our minds. And to be honest with you, there is a lot more information because we are so handicapped with mental commitment and yielding our minds to God. And we haven't reached the place of saturation in our minds. That's why I believe the Lord gave us Psalm 119 for this month, because it is all it talks about is the Word of God. And so in my prayer, I'm saying, okay, Lord, how do I go? What do I deal with? We looked at the breakdown between the spiritual mind and the carnal mind with Peter walking on the water. He walked on the water because of the spiritual mind. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. He got out of the boat and walked on the water. But then the carnal mind stepped in and said, you can't do what the Lord has called you to do. Now, the carnal mind locks in on the limitations of our environment. And so when the carnal mind said to Peter, you can't do what the Lord told you to do, the scripture says, when he saw the wind and the waves, which had always been there, but faith is the cancellation of the natural law. The natural law says you can't walk on water, but faith canceled it out and he walked. But listen carefully, faith can't sustain you alone. It can't. It can get you started, but there are some things you have to do to keep going. I am extremely frustrated about the state of marriage in the church. I care about marriage in the world, but I'm frustrated about it in the church. And here's what frustrates me. People are continuing to look for a magic pill, and there aren't any. And some of you, bless your hearts, you become delusional, because you watch all this stuff, listen to all these people come on the radio, and they got you looking for a love language. And you're telling people, well, my love language is I care. And my love language is I cry. And so you walking around looking for love languages. Sis Lambert and I constantly encounter people who ask us how we were able to stay married so long. And we tell them all the same thing. We don't know. I think they're looking for some, you know, revelation from God. Oh, we just pray together. I was at a men's conference, and I was scheduled to be the second speaker. And the first speaker got up, and he was chastising the men for not praying with their wives. And I mean, he just really tore into them. You ain't praying with your wives. And I sat through it because I was. But I always feel this way. When you, there has to be two reasons why you ask me to participate. Number one, the Lord told you to ask me, which means he knows what you're getting. Or you made the mistake of listening or looking at me and decided that what you saw was worth the gamble. Either way, you're getting what I am. I don't have anything other than me. And so when I stood up, I was telling the brothers, look, I don't know about all this husbands and wives praying together. I said, because I don't do a lot of it. I said, because when I get with God, I ain't got time for all that crying and all that, you know. I mean, I'm here for some business. I don't need to be praying about, you know, somebody broke their toe and, you know, I mean, come on. I'm not going to do all that. And I said, men pray differently. Men pray unstructured with a position in mind. Women are kind of emotional when they pray, and they get into all that, and we just come up, we talk to God, we rap with him, and we out. Women have to spend a lot more time in praise and worship and feeling everybody and calling people by name and, you know, identifying. You know, I'm praying for Aunt Lola, and Aunt Lola has a something in her arm, and we just get up and say, God, touch my family in Jesus' name. And so what we do is we allow the world and the culture to tell us how our marriages are supposed to be. And we go through a whole bunch of foolishness only to find out that all marriages, if you look in the Bible, the only thing God said was two things, the only thing you have to do. Number one, husband, just love your wife like Christ loves the church. And wife, just submit to his leadership. That's it. All the rest of this stuff is cultural mishigosh. And but what gets into our minds that, you know, we got to do all this stuff. So we traipsing all over the country, going to marriage sessions, going to seminars, going to fellowships. And it's really not strengthening your marriage. It's just giving you vacations. Because when it's all said and done, you got to come back home to the same neurotic people who are going to do the same things. And God does not intervene because he says he doesn't bother marriage. Here's how God thinks about marriage. The Bible says if a wife vows a vow and the husband doesn't hear the vow, or then later on finds out about the vow and he says to his wife, you're not giving that money to the building fund, the Bible says God will release the wife because he doesn't get involved in marital issues. He doesn't challenge the husband's leadership. That woman can say, the Lord told me to give $1,000, and the husband will say, well, you ain't doing that. And God says, okay, I guess you ain't doing it. Because he has established an order and a purpose. All marriages, it has nothing to do with emotion. It has nothing to do with sexual intimacy. It has nothing to do with it. All marriages is cognizant, conscious commitment. That's all it is. I'm going to be with you till I die. That's it. Or if you kill me, that's it. One way or the other. Last week, I announced to Sister Lambert, I said, I want a divorce. She said, okay. So I'm taking my video equipment. You can have the rest of the stuff. She said, all right. And then 15 minutes later, we back together. I think I've been divorced 27 times in all these years. Marriage ends. And okay, now you're some, because you're somebody different. You ain't that little, you know, cute little bride I saw walk down the altar. You become... I'm every woman. It's all in me. And so what am I saying? It's all about the mind. It's all about the mind. And when we understand that everything in our life is mental commitment, you're going to run out of that. Oh, baby, my heart just skipped a beat when you walked in. You're going to run out of that. It's going to be, where have you been? I'm hungry. You look at your neighbor and say, I got out of bed this morning for this. But I got good news for you. And as I sat with the Lord and he began to talk with me about this next series, I was hoping to go further with the mind. And he said, no, we're going to do something different. I said, okay, what? Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment, verse 20, to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. What an interesting text. God cannot lie. It's not that he chooses not to lie. He cannot lie. Today, our series is going to be rather extensive. I have 33 pages of scripture right here. I always print my scriptures out so I don't have to keep running to the Bible to turn pages. Y'all do that. And this is a very important message because of how we are assaulted by the enemy. But it also ties into our mind study. Even though God cannot lie, we think he can. Because we do not believe. Hear me. Faith will get you started, but belief will keep you going. The devil does not attack your faith. He attacks your belief system. If you are successful in your Christian development, you will switch your belief system from the world to God. See, we make a big deal about faith, but then faith becomes for us not only the subject, but it also becomes the object, and that's the error. Faith becomes the object, so we wind up having faith in faith. But Jesus said, have faith in God. I have faith that God can do, but do you believe that he can do? You say, wait a minute. What, you know, when I look it up in the concordance, it'll say pretty much the same. It's not. It's not. Because one is more theological, the other is more internal. Faith comes by hearing, but the Bible doesn't tell you where belief comes. You ever drive down the street and somebody says, hey, I'm hungry. You say, oh, I believe this store is open. And because you believe it's open, you go to it. But if you know that the store is closed, you won't even believe that you can go by there. You may say, let's go by there and see if it's open. You don't believe it, but you're just going to see. So you know that there are things in your life that you believe. And then there are things that you just simply have faith. Like many of us, if we are involved with someone and rather married or just a real serious relationship, we actually hope they love us. Because you can't know somebody loves you till you live together. Because that's the only time you can strip off the facade and show them who you really are. You know someone loves you when they kiss you before you brush your teeth. But when you're dating, you never show them that person. You got your little banaka and, you know, all the other things to kind of, you know, take off that dragon breath. But you know when you don't have to put, you know, on your best. Because we can't always be at our best in every area of our lives. And so there are certain steps that one goes through in order to prove what they say. Well, God does the same thing. In fact, God even says, prove me. See if I won't do what I said. But we won't even do that. Literally, he's saying, try me. Try me and see. See if I won't do what I said. We won't try him because we really don't believe he can do it. We haven't reached that point of saturation where our faith is growing into belief. Let me ask you, do you believe anything? The way the world is right now, there's a magician out in Las Vegas. He often has a television show, and he will get up and do specific things that you are looking at, but you can't believe that it's happening. Even with your eyes seeing it, you say, no, he ain't doing it. No, I don't believe that. How can we not believe what our eyes see? Now, if we struggle with believing what we see, then how are we going to believe God, whom we never see? I've come to the realization that we believe what we want to believe. A couple of weeks ago, they were advertising that there was going to be a snowstorm. We believed it. We prepared for it. We went to the market and we purchased items that are probably still in the house. We began to think about phone calls to our employers. We began to prepare ourselves to be snowed in, and it never came. But that will not water down your belief in the next time, because you knew at some time they're going to get it right. Now you have a book with approximately 1,285 promises from a man who, number says, cannot lie. And we struggle with that principle. God said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to supply all that you need. Then you get a pink slip and you panic and begin to slip into depression. Don't say the devil is fighting you. Tell the truth. Why are you going through? Because I don't believe God. Just tell the truth. I don't believe God. I don't believe God can meet my need. I don't believe God can heal me. I do not believe that God can do the things that he said in this book. That's why I live a life contrary to what this book says. I don't believe God can keep me. Now, isn't that sobering? God is not a man that he should lie. But here's what happens. My theme for this series is Isaac or Ishmael, make your choice. Now, how does this play out with this passage in Numbers as our primary text? God called this man Abraham out of a land that was not his land. It was a heathen land filled with idol worshipers. Abraham did not know God, and God called him and said, leave this land, go to a land that I'm going to show you, and I will make you a great nation. And Abraham left. But because he was a little uncertain about the journey, none of us have a problem with the destination. The destination is how we plan. When I decided to visit every state in the United States, my daughter suggested to me, she said, Dad, contact their commerce department and get a book or get some information about the sites in that place you're going so that when you arrive, you'll have some sense of where you're going to go. I said, hey, that's a good idea. So I started buying books and contacting those particular cities in those states, and they would send me tourist information, and I was ready for the destination. I knew what I wanted to do. I would call ahead and she taught me how to get a hold of certain places and get tours set up long before I had tours set up 3 months in advance. And the destination was locked in. Tickets paid for, tour guides ready. But the journey, getting to the airport, on the Schuylkill, having a time to leave on my flight, but running into intense traffic caused me to call the airline and get a different flight because I could see we were not going to make it. The journey is filled with difficulty. We know we're going to heaven. That's the destination. But life is the journey, and the devil does not fight your destination. He fights your journey to make us miserable, to make us full of contention, to fight one another. So that's why we become so heaven conscious, because we just want to go home, because we don't know how to enjoy the journey. And so God told this man, I need you to leave and leave your father's house. And the way the King James writes it, it's not just a statement that God is giving to him, leave your father's house. What he's saying is, leave your family. Don't bring anyone in your family with you, because I'm not calling them. Are you with me? Well, Lord, why are you not calling them? Because God only calls the people who will believe him on the journey. On the journey, not the destination. Everybody wants to go with me to the destination. Hey, y'all, I'm going to Montego Bay. Watch. Who wants to go?
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
Isaac or Ishmael, Make Your Choice,
or the program number,
02219A.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH TV on Comcast Cable Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Shoneham Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites all women to Women's Conference 2019. Daughters of the King, wear your crown, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Come and join us for 2 days of praise, worship, and life-empowering workshops from dynamic speakers. Joining us on Friday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. will be Evangelist Joyce L. Rogers, founder of Primary Purpose Ministries Incorporated of Carlton, Texas. On Saturday, beginning at 8:30 a.m., there will be a special panel discussion featuring the women's pastors of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. The mid-morning and afternoon sessions will be facilitated by guest presenter, Pastor Latera Ruffin from the Life Empowerment Church of Moreno Valley, California. All sessions will be held in the sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. The deadline to register is Friday, May 3rd. Registration is available online at BethelDeliverance.org. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. Ladies, don't miss this uplifting time of praise, worship, and life-transforming teaching from anointed women of God, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Plan to join us and register today.
All ministers and aspiring ministers are invited to the Making of a Minister training session with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. He'll be joined by his co-host, Pastor Brian Weatherspoon of Tabernacle Harvest Church of Pottstown, Pennsylvania. Come and join the pastors as they share from their 45 years of combined experience. This special session will equip you with the tools and knowledge for effectively crafting your sermons in order to rightly divide the Word of God. You won't want to miss this important time of training and development. It's happening Saturday, April 13th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincope, Pennsylvania. Admission is free, but you must call to register at 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit BethelDeliverance.org. We look forward to seeing you there.